Bear in mind, you must know your material cold. If you do, you can take all of the shades, all of the nuance, all of the energy of what you've already got prepared and infuse it into the new theme or subject. Hello and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. On the show, I interview peak performing innovators in the creative, social impact, and earth conservation spaces who are working to change the world. This episode is brought to you by Brain FM, which combines the best of music and neuroscience to help you relax, focus, meditate, and even sleep. And if you're liking the show, I would love it if you'd buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/IsoldeT. See the show notes for details. And now, let's get on with the show. Hello, and welcome to the Innovative Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Isolde Trachtenberg. Super excited that you're here. This is another Speak From Within Thursday where you can listen to the audiobook recording of the book Speak From Within, of my book Speak From Within, How to Engage, Inspire, and Motivate Any Audience, live, if you will. This audiobook is here every Thursday. You can go back to the beginning a few months ago and listen every Thursday and get the audiobook that way. Because once I've recorded the audiobook on here, it's going away from the podcast. I'm going to be removing it from everywhere, and you'll only be able to get it on my website as a paid audiobook. If you want to do it free right now, this is the way to do it. I'm super excited to continue from chapter 16 when I talked about how I learned how to read palms at a lumber yard. And this is chapter 17, where we're going to continue talking about what we can do to solve other people's problems. All right, here we go. Chapter 13, what's your problem? So how do we do it? How do we give the people who are listening to us what they want, especially when we are ill-prepared to do so? At that lumberyard gig, I was able to bring my previous reading skills and knowledge to bear. But what if you have nothing? Here's the important thing about listening. When what you thought the client wanted turns out to be not what the client wanted at all, you need to engage those listening skills. No, wait, let me back up. First, you have to get over your own issues and open your heart, mind, and ears to the other people involved. You must connect with them without your own ego coming to the party. When a client, or heck, anyone, tells you that you're doing something wrong, a certain amount of defensiveness is a natural reaction. If you've ever watched The Simpsons, you've probably seen Bart Simpson saying, "I didn't do it. Nobody saw me do it. You can't prove anything." The reason this iconic moment has been repeated so many times during the run of the show is because it's all too common in real life. We want to defend ourselves because anything else feels like admitting we're wrong, and that can feel terrible. But regardless of how it feels, we have to admit our culpability and fix the problem. We have to get over our own insecurities around looking bad or being wrong and make things right. I know, easier said than done. And yet, we have to, don't we? If we mess up, we have to make amends personally and professionally, right? So if you've messed up, it's your responsibility to fix it. That makes sense. However, what if you didn't mess up? What if you're operating in good faith and you've adhered to the conditions and circumstances you knew about, and they're still coming at you like you screwed up? In the moment, it doesn't matter. No one cares. You're stuck in the middle of the situation and you have to figure out a way to resolve it. And often, an irate client or customer is right in front of you. So not only do you have to take action to fix the problem, you must also be the cooler head. Think about it this way. Is your goal to be proven right, or is it to serve the other person's needs? And you might be right, no question. You might have the contract like I did at the lumberyard. You might have an ironclad reason for what you're doing. And still, you'll have to deal with the situation at hand. To resolve it and leave everyone happy, you'll need to step back from your initial reaction so you can give a measured response. And that means you have to release the need to defend yourself so you can focus on solving the bigger problem. When you're in the soup, stop and determine your goal. Take a second and decide your objective. Most importantly, try to do it from an unbiased, dispassionate place. Here's what I do to give myself a second. I change my physical point of view. If I'm sitting, I stand, and vice versa. I allow myself to view the issue from a different perspective. That way, I can see things differently and perhaps respond to them differently as well. Additionally, those few seconds of movement provide a moment to breathe and calm my thoughts. Once I have a bit more peace of mind, I move into problem solver mode, and I operate from that place until we can fix what's wrong. As part of this process, I remind myself that the issue here is not with me and what I'm bringing to the table. The task at hand is to solve the problem so no one feels like a failure. And if you can solve the problem, you might be the hero of the hour. That's always a fabulous feeling. So if you find yourself in a similar situation, try the above perspective-changing technique and see how it works. Even if you know you're right, take a minute to assess what's really going on with the client, then decide whether or not and how you will help. Bear in mind that they might not be in a place to appreciate your aid or the fact that you're helping them when you're clearly not at fault. Do this good deed for yourself, regardless of anyone else's actions or reactions. In this scenario, you're here to help. If you can see that there's really no greater reward than that, you will have already won. Once you choose to help, you must listen. Dig underneath the surface of what they're saying to the crux of the matter. What do they really want and need? What problem do they want solved? How are they really feeling? Open your senses and figure that out. Once you have an idea of what's going on beneath the surface, you can adapt your skills and your palm reading app, if you've got one, to give the client what they want and need. Because remember, just as you're trying to solve their problem, they're trying to solve someone else's, and so on. It's a pretty fascinating daisy chain, isn't it? When I listened to the DJ/agent at the lumberyard, I had to go deeper. As soon as I took a moment to assess the situation, I saw the lay of the land. If I had tried to fix the issue, I wouldn't just be doing what the end client wanted. I would also be solving a huge problem for the agent as well. At first, I was upset and angry at being placed in this bizarre position of having to seem like an expert at something I had literally never done before. But that wasn't her problem. That was mine. Her problem was that for some reason she had booked someone her client didn't want, and she was going to have to tell her client that she'd screwed up. So she had an even bigger problem than I did. After I took a minute to breathe and change my perspective from, "Holy crap, I can't do palm readings, I'm going to make a complete fool of myself," to, "Okay, how can I help her get out of this sticky situation?" I realized I had to try to solve her problem. And as soon as I started listening to her on a deeper level, I got the bigger picture. The agent was super anxious because this lumberyard was one of her biggest clients. She wanted to keep them as clients, and she knew she had screwed up. She told me she didn't care how I did what I did and begged me to figure out a way to do what the client was asking. After all, my job was to help and serve. No one had to know I didn't know what I was doing. If I was completely terrible at palm reading, I was going to fall back on my theater background and make it all one grand game. The party guests were going to have fun one way or the other. Even if I had no clue how to read palms, I knew how to entertain them. And I did. I don't know if you've ever seen that wonderful video of Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band pulling Chuck Berry's You Never Can Tell out of their hats because someone requested it. If not, here's a link to it. You're going to have to go right to the show notes page to do it because the link is long. The link is also at https://isoldat.com/speak-book. Watch it. You'll see masters at work. Why? It's not just because they're incredible musicians. It's because they're incredible musicians who want so much to satisfy, enthrall, and entertain their audience that they are willing to try a song some of them haven't played for 50 years. To me, that's the amazing thing. Being willing to take a chance to please the others, to excite them, to thrill them by taking that big risk will get you fans for life. Someone knows that you're willing to be vulnerable and perhaps make a grave error and look ridiculous to get them what they need. With that effort, you will earn their trust and win their loyalty. That authentic connection can't be faked, and it can't be bought. I'm not comparing myself to Bruce Springsteen and the E Street Band, by the way. They're just another example of a band, practitioner, that collectively wants to please their fans or clients. And that is crucial. So when you end up in this kind of situation, you must decide the kind of risk you're willing to take. And then You have to solve the problem. Here are the steps to follow. Step one, you find out that what you've prepared isn't what the client wants. Step 1A, try to make sure the powers that be really want this new thing or whether there's been a communication somewhere. Step 2, if it does turn out to be a last-minute change on their part, you have to decide whether or not you're able to address their concerns. You might find that you can't make a change, or you might choose not to make one. If you're super invested in communicating what you prepared, then make that clear, particularly if you have the paperwork to back it up. Make all your apologies and do what you came to do. Step 2A. You decide you want to work with them and give them what they're saying they want. Excellent. Here's where you get to have some fun. If you're there by yourself, you don't have colleagues or bandmates. That's even better in some ways. Why? Because you get to think as wild and out of the box as you can. Step 3. Take a few minutes and speak to the decision maker. Ask that person exactly what they want, and don't just listen to the words. Listen to what's underneath the words. Listen to the intention. Watch for emotion, for their physical cues. Is this person feeling nervous, stressed out? If you can determine exactly why they've changed things at the last minute, you can figure out more about how to give them what they want and still do what you came to do. It's possible that you can modify what you had prepared while still satisfying the new request. In fact, unless you're a magician and what they want is someone who can teach a masterclass in opera, you ought to be able to modify by changing your focus. Bear in mind, you must know your material cold. If you do, you can take all of the shades, all of the nuance, all of the energy of what you've already got prepared and infuse it into the new theme or subject. You can color it. You can keep referring back to what they now want while still talking about what you started with. Here's what I do. I ask myself, if I were the person who knew how to do this cold, what would I say? What are the points I would strike? What are the themes on which I would touch? Step 4. Take a few minutes of alone time. By the way, did I mention that you need to arrive at any venue at which you are going to be presenting at least a full hour early? And this is only if you have nothing to set up. If you have any sort of setup, you will need to increase this by a factor of 3 or 4. Things change, and you might find yourself in a situation where the organizer begs you to change everything you had set up. The manner in which you handle those curveballs will build your reputation. Make sure it's the kind of reputation you want. The most crucial part of working with clients in public speaking or communication situations is identifying what the client really actually wants. In the case of the palm reading gig at the lumberyard, the client wanted everyone to be entertained. They wanted the big boss to get a reading that blew him away. So I made sure I did that. They wanted people to be amazed. I did that too. In order to succeed, I had to have enough prep and enough confidence in myself and in my skills to interact on a deeper level. I wasn't nervous or worried because I knew my stuff. That left me free to connect with everyone on the level where we are all just people with similar needs and desires. Once I tapped into that by listening and sensing what was happening with them, I gave them substantive and accurate readings that amazed them. My tools? Listen, connect, and communicate from that deep and vulnerable place we all have inside. That was the substance and the key. Everything else was for show. In the end, the evening was a success, but only the first part had been necessary to make it one. You might want to brainstorm some of this with friends, or you might want to brainstorm some of it yourself. In fact, let me get you started. When things have gone sideways with a client, step back, listen, assess, and ask yourself the following questions. What is it they most want, and what can I do to help them get it? At every stage, reiterate the question. Ask your client, too. Just remember that sometimes you need to be circumspect in how you ask, and other times you can be explicit. I sometimes phrase it like this. So let me ask you, what is it that you want to achieve here? And then I watch and listen. I use every sense I can to determine their goal. Were they excited or scared when they related it to me? Were they happy or anxious? If they want something and they're excited about it, you have a ton of leeway and maneuverability to help them get it. If they remain too scared or anxious, they might have other bosses to deliver to, and then you have to pay strict attention to how you proceed. I've been telling you to listen to what the clients want and then give it to them. So now, it's time to learn how to take the information you're receiving and turn it into action. That's a very important lesson. The knowledge and the ability to transform that knowledge into action are two different skill sets, and they are both crucial to success. I hope you've enjoyed Chapter 17 of Speak From Within, of the Speak From Within audiobook. If you have, I would love it if you would leave a review of the show. Let me know what you're thinking about it. Let me know what you're thinking of the book. And please remember, the book is going away. These podcast episodes are going away once I am done recording this audiobook live for the show. It's actually going to be only available as an audiobook on my website, isoldat.com. And if you want to support the podcast and help me keep it going, I would also be super honored if you would buy me a cup of coffee. You can buy me a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/IsoldaT. It would be really great if you did, because again, this podcast is here to serve you. And also, I like my lattes with oat milk, just letting you know. Alrighty, until next time, this is Isolde Trachtenberg for the Innovative Mindset Podcast, reminding you to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being here. Please subscribe to the podcast if you're new, and it would mean the world to me if you told a friend about it. Today's episode was produced by Isolde Trachtenberg and is copyright 2022. As always, please remember this is for educational and entertainment purposes only. Past performance does not guarantee future results, although we can always hope. Until next time, remember to be bold, be creative, and most of all, be kind.